relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This episode of the America First podcast with me, Sebastian Gorka, is brought to you by Franklin Armory. Shop freedom, quality, and innovation at franklinarmory.com. Franklin Armory, we are facilitators of freedom.
I have a problem when teachers are passing out flyers recruiting children to go to the courthouse to protest Black Lives Matters, when you have people sitting with signs that says all cops are bastards. Really? All cops are bastards? No, I think you people are, because the way you're acting and the way you're treating our children and our police officers and making them believe that it's okay to abuse them, I'll be damned if I'm going to sit here and let you do that. No, I don't think so. This won't be the last of me. I want everyone to know what's going on, because you're hiding it. You're hiding it. You know who does that? Communists do that.
Yes, just like they're hiding the affidavit for the search warrant of a former president's home. That's what communists do. Harsh words for harsh times, but that is what is required. That is Tatiana Ibrahim, one of the mama bears who is taking back America, one school district at a time. God bless her and all the others who are fighting for our children and our republic. We have got one of the generals of that parents' revolt in studio. Yes, she came to the swamp. She has to escape as soon as possible. But for the meantime, we have lured her into a den of liberty. She is the co-founder of the amazing organization Moms for Liberty and probably has the coolest name in America right now. I mean, Trump's pretty cool, but Justice? Yeah. Tiffany Justice, welcome in studio.
Thank you for having me. It looks great. Congratulations on the new studio. It looks lovely.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Salem, on your TV studio. By the way, guys, I know you're listening across the country, wherever you are. God bless you. But we also live stream on all those, you know, apps like Roku and all that stuff you have on your television. Also on Rumble. It's absolutely free. Rumble.com/Seb Gorka. So you can see my lovely studio and the trinkets with which it is lined. Tiffany, you're in the swamp to keep fighting the good fight. For those who haven't heard you on the show before, you are the co-founder of an amazing organization, Moms for Liberty, which was only founded a couple of years ago. What is Moms for Liberty? Let's start there.
Yeah, so 18 months ago, Tina Deskovich and I co-founded a group called Moms for Liberty out of Florida. We both served as school board members. And so now you find us here and across America, moms and dads standing up. We have 215 chapters in 40 states.
So dads are allowed.
Dads are
just Moms for Liberty.
Yeah,
There's no sexual discrimination.
No, and we know that strong men support strong women.
What's
moms
the goal?
And dads.
What's the mission?
The mission is to be the watchdogs of the districts, to never again allow public education to indoctrinate our children and to make them hate America. We know that there are shared values amongst the people in America, and it doesn't matter what political party they belong to. And we really believe that we're bringing people together who want to have a brighter future for their kids.
Right. Now, I've got a cheat sheet. I usually don't do this because usually I invite people I like to talk about topics that are important. But sometimes I have a little angel whispering in my ear. This time it's my wife, Katie, who you saw yesterday, sent me a long, long text of things I need to ask Tiffany in front of our millions of listeners. So strong men, strong women. Behind every great man is a greater woman. So let's ask the first question. So now it's a year and a half. Mm-hmm. How many chapters, how many people are in this organization now?
215 chapters in 40 states with over 100,000 active members.
That's America. That mm-hmm. is the American way. Problem, take action, solve the problem. Okay, so let's start with the first one. What is the tipping point in your experience for most parents when they get involved in education issues? Because look, I'm guilty as well. My wife and I did a lot of research when we moved to America. We finally chose a school that's associated with our church. And once you pick the school, most of us kind of hands off. If the kid comes home and says, "Dad, I don't understand, long division, will you help me out?" You help him out.
Sure.
But we don't monitor. We kind of trust that our decision was a good decision, and we kind of only get engaged. I did get engaged in my daughter's school when a teacher gave a cert. It was in the cathedral associated to with the school. It wasn't a mass, wasn't a service. One of the lesbian teachers to these young girls, prepubescent girls, girls in their teens, gave a 50-minute speech that I listened to on their website about how it's good to explore your sexuality.
Wow.
Okay? In a cathedral. So I got engaged. As you can imagine, I got engaged. I went in, demanded to see the principal of the school. But for too many parents, we kind of just pick a school and then allow them to be taught. What has been, in your experience, that triggering moment where parents say, is there a pattern?
I think there is. I think there is a pattern of parents kind of being presented with information, their children being presented with information and learning about it and saying, I don't know about that. What was the context here, right? What was the purpose of this lesson? And I think the tipping point became when the parents went to the school districts and they said, we're concerned about this. And what the districts basically said, or Terry McAuliffe for that matter, parents just shouldn't really be that involved in their kids' education. That's the tipping
point. It's up to us.
That was the tipping point for
parents. And would you have Moms for Liberty, would you be sitting in my studio now if it weren't for the Wuhan lab and COVID? Isn't that part of the wake up?
I think it's part of the overall wake up and the momentum that was created. I served as a school board member. There were real concerns about where parents fit into their children's education. And we saw public education moving farther and farther away from parents having input. I think what COVID did was just completely pull back the curtain. And you had just a lot of parents who, for the most part, wanted to trust their community schools. These are schools where they know the people that work there. Oftentimes, they've gone to some of these schools. And so the general nature is, as you said, trusting, right? Who thinks that you're going to send your child to school and they're going to actively work to turn your child against you and all of your traditions and values in your home? COVID really let parents see a window into what their kids were learning.
And because they were at home, they could see the video lectures.
Yeah, and then what they weren't learning, right? Yeah. There were a lot of parents who were looking and saying, well, why does my child have trouble writing? Well, they're on the computer all day long. They're not holding a pencil. They're not writing. That was a wake-up call for parents who had been pushed farther and farther out. And oftentimes, Sebastian, because there wasn't homework being sent home. Yeah. There wasn't that communication. And so really now parents are saying, we want to partner with our children's schools. We have a funny meme that went up on the website that said, when we told you we wanted you to teach division, we meant math.
Ooh, that's good. I haven't seen that. And I'm on social media a lot. I like that. They are teaching division. Okay, let's stay on that for a second. Who are the major culprits? I'm sure this is multivalent, so there's lots of different centers of gravity. But when you look at, we're going to teach CRT. We're going to teach that if you're white, you're an oppressor. If you're black, you're a victim. We're going to say America is the problem. We're going to give, you know, lectures in the church to 10-year-old girls about how they should explore their sexuality and that cisgender, normal sexual identity is bad. Who are the key propagators? Is it really the members of the school boards, or is it the teachers, or is it the unions? Have you identified what is the transmission belt for this indoctrination, Tiffany?
I'm going to place this squarely on the union's shoulders at this point right now. I think there are a lot of different mechanisms as far as teacher training and accreditation where we could lay some blame. But as far as what we're seeing really actively being pushed into the schools, we see the teachers' unions and that leadership really being the most of the fringe of the left, I think. And you're taking all of that progressive woke ideology, and really forcing it down through public education, because they know if they can indoctrinate the children, they can separate them from the parents, then they will own them, basically. And so I think American parents saw during COVID, the teachers' unions had so much control, right? They kept schools closed and they wanted to mask our children. And then when you look at the representative assembly for the NEA or the AFT's, you know, different agenda that they have, you really look and you say, how far away is this from what parents want out of schools? The primary duty of the school is to educate, but I think it's become very clear that the primary goal of the teachers' union is not, in fact, to educate or give our children practicable skills. It is to indoctrinate them and to make them foot soldiers of the progressive far left.
Yeah, part of their movement. We're talking to Tiffany Justice, co-founder of Moms for Liberty. Follow her right now on Twitter, @4 Tiffany Justice. That's @4 Tiffany Justice, and momsforliberty.org. That's momsforliberty.org. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, my buddy, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to my listeners. The Percal bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're on sale. For example, the queen size is regularly $89.98, but now for you, just $39.98 with your listener promo. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percal sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. It's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-829-8468, promo code Gorka, or just go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and plug in G-O-R-K-A. That's 1-800-829-8468 or MyPillow.com, code Gorka. I want to recognize the fact that it's not all teachers. I think we need to get her back on the show. There's an amazing young lady, Lillian Venetian, in the Commonwealth of Virginia, who stood up at a school board meeting as a teacher to say this.
I'm a Fairfax County public school teacher, and I'm going to give a message of encouragement to parents and teachers and students who are too afraid to come and speak forward. Parents, the longer that you wait and you don't hold your child's schools accountable gives these guys more time to dictate what's best for your child's physical, mental, and emotional health. Don't be afraid to speak out for your kids because they are voiceless and they rely on you. You should be afraid of them rooting for socialism by the time they get to middle school. Teachers, it may seem that our careers have come to a dead end, but I'm here to remind you, we don't work for the school board. We work to mold the next generation of well-rounded American patriots. So don't give up, because it is up to us. Students, you are on the front lines of these indoctrination camps. Challenge the staff when you are presented with a ludicrous statement, and do not allow anybody to tell you that you cannot accomplish anything because of your skin color, or to hate yourself because of your skin color. Students, it is up to you to be the next generation of victims or victors.
What an amazing young lady. Mr. G, let's get her back in studio. Tiffany, I mean, her point, it shouldn't need saying, that the teachers and the school boards don't work for themselves or the Democrat Party or the Biden administration. They work for us. What is the power relationship right now after a year and a half of what you and Tina have been doing, after people like Lilith, like Tatiana Ibrahim standing up? Is it shifting? Because what I see at the school boards, I went to one of the recent ones in Virginia, where they said if a child, even in kindergarten, uses the wrong pronoun for another student, they can be actually suspended. So if Freddie comes in and says, today I'm you know, Julie, if his buddy Tom calls him Freddie, that kid can get suspended. It seems to me as if these school boards, to put it mildly, don't give a damn what the parents want.
I think it depends where you are right now in America. And I think it depends about the leadership in your state.
Yeah.
You know, I think what you see in Florida is you have a very strong governor who has set a very clear course for what the future of education is going to look like in Florida. I think you have a governor in Virginia who everyone was very excited about. But I'd be lying if I told you that I'm not concerned about some of the laws and things that are being required, that are requiring critical race theory, given a different name, but critical race theory and a lot of this gender theory to be pushed down into schools. And so, you know, I guess my question would be, where is Governor Youngkin on these issues? And I'm hearing and seeing a lot of unrest amongst Virginia parents who are looking for leadership from this leadership team to be able to help in that area. I don't think teachers are feeling represented by the union. I certainly saw that as a school board member. We would go through bargaining, and I would often go back into the classrooms, my kids' teachers, and I would ask sometimes, are you aware of what the bargaining, what the teachers union is bargaining for at the table? Oftentimes, teachers had no idea. They're busy. They have lives of their own. They have their own children. They're focused on teaching.
But they're giving money every month.
They're giving money every month. Yep. Giving money every month. And so we really are trying to help teachers to leave the union. Rebecca Friedrichs, I know you have on for Kids in Country, has an Adopt a Teacher program. So Moms for Liberty is going to be working with for Kids in Country to try to help teachers to leave the union, because you're right. They're giving money every month to an organization that is actively working against what many teachers actually want to have happen in their classroom.
What is the role going to be? What is the status of masks going to be this fall? How important an issue is that going to be? What are you worried about?
I'm worried about places like Philadelphia that have decided that they're going to just exercise whatever control they can find. They're requiring masks for the first 10 days, and then they're going to force them on the kids after every extended break. And I think when we look at the way that masks have been utilized in the last places where they lingered, schools, where children are easily controlled, airports, where adults are easily controlled, it's just this control mechanism. That's what masks have become. So we're fighting actively against masks. One of the things that I saw that was very concerning and should be concerning to every American right now is the fact the CDC came out and really said there's not a lot of difference between vaccinated and unvaccinated.
They should be treated the same.
Correct. But in New York City schools, if you're an unvaccinated parent, you will no longer have access to your child's classroom. You will not be able to go into the schools. That's a problem, and it has to change.
Let's give an example of just how insane the other side has become and what you are fighting. This is a video I played already this week from Boston Children's Hospital. I think this is the issue that will get most parents activated. Play cut.
A child will often know that they are transgender from the moment that they have any ability to express themselves, and parents will often tell us this. We have parents who tell us that their kids, they knew from the minute they were born practically. And actions like refusing to get a haircut or standing to urinate, trying to stand to urinate, refusing to stand to urinate, trying on siblings' clothing, playing with the, quote, opposite gender toys, things like that.
So I've raised two children with my wife. Our newborns ate, pooped, and slept. They weren't giving me lectures on their transgender identity. Can we deal with these people? I mean, these sound like either this is a doctor, that's an MD at a prestigious hospital saying from birth, children are expressing transgender identities. Either these people are insane or they're utterly brainwashed. You can't negotiate with these kinds of people when it trickles down to school policies, can you?
This is criminal. These are crimes against children.
Yeah.
That are
it's
being
abuse.
Perpetrated. This is abuse. The idea that a child doesn't want to get a haircut, so maybe they were born in the wrong body. This idea they opposite sex toys. Who's making that decision? Right? There's no right way to be a boy or a girl. And the idea that somehow adults are saying to a child, well, if you're not comfortable going through puberty, maybe you were born in the wrong body. And I'm going to sell you this snake oil solution of we're going to never be able to actually change your biological sex, but mutilate you. And sterilize you in the hopes of you finding happiness through that process. I really believe, and I watched this, Sebastian, these are crimes against children. We will look back on this time like we look at lobotomies now,
yeah.
Thinking what ridiculousness this has been. And I'm so incredibly proud of people like Chris Elston and other people that are coming out and fighting against this madness. It must stop. My goal will be for these people to really face accountability for the crimes that they've perpetrated against
it
children.
Child abuse, and God bless Billboard Chris, that's who she's mentioning, the man who goes out and actually says in public with a billboard that this is child abuse. Uncle Tom 2 is the eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. Sebastian Gorka here, and Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true history of Black America, the cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to the current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historical footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, the NAACP's sinister agenda, the fall of Black Harlem, the truth behind Black Lives Matter, and the demoralization of America for political power. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone with Brandon Tatum, Vodi Bocum, and Chad O'Jackson. Pre-order it today at salemnow.com. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD on Friday, August 26th at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. Salemnow.com. You said something stunning to me, Tiffany, before we went live, and it's something I've said in terms of general politics in America, but not with reference to the fight you're fighting every day. I say the left is the left. The left are going to do what they do. They are not secret about their disdain for America. The bigger problem we have is the fake conservatives, the establishment GOP. You said something about the GOP as being the biggest obstacle locally for parents. Could you explain that in front of 3 million people?
Absolutely. So we have moms and dads that are rising up as leaders in their community. They're seeing real problems with the education system, and they're wanting to get involved. And Ali Beth Stuckey spoke at our summit, and she said, politics matter because policies matter because people matter. And it's so true, right? So people getting concerned, they want to affect policy, and they said, well, I'm going to get involved in politics to be able to affect that. And so they're looking for places to go in their communities to learn about the political process and to get involved. A lot of times they go to their local Republican Executive Committee. And what we have found is that Republican Executive Committees, the establishment GOP in this country, have fought against us time and time again. This idea that we're some, you know, GOP establishment group. Well, somebody should let us know that, because somebody should maybe let them know that. Because instead of moms being seen as possible leaders to help us with a fresh perspective, we're being looked at as a threat.
But do you have any idea as to what it is about you that poses a threat to people who say they love America and who say they're conservatives? What is the problem with Tiffany Justice or Moms for Liberty?
Well, I felt it in my own community when I ran for office. I found that there was all of these deals that had been made, all of these people that had decided
with
each other. Honestly, within the REC, well, I'm going to run for office, and then I'm going to term out, and then when I'm done running, then you'll run, and then so-and-so's husband will run, and blah, blah, blah.
So it's just a club.
It's a club.
It was a greased-down club, and you can't come in and say, I want to compete.
How dare you?
See if I get more votes.
Yeah, how dare you have a competing opinion or come in and upset the apple cart? And so what we have sometimes are groups that will not give moms time, or the group Moms for Liberty, time to come in and speak. They think that we're competition for money, for positions perhaps. And what we're trying to say is, listen, we're bringing a whole new group of people into politics, and they're coming to you to see where do we fit. And so if the constant action by the GOP establishment in these communities is you don't fit here, well, they're going to find somewhere else to be. And so I just think you're seeing a real shift in American politics now, with parents being a brand new political class and looking for acceptance and somewhere to be able to be supported. And communities have some real questions to ask about how they move forward.
But given that, and I don't think this is something you can change, given that our political structure over two centuries has kind of established itself as a two-party system. You can have a Ross Perot come up with billions of dollars, but what does Ross Perot do? He takes conservative votes away from George Bush, and then we get Bill Clinton. So where can you fit in? Have you given up on the establishment GOP, or have you got tactics to try and have the voice of the majority represented inside the established party? What's your plan?
Well, I think that the energy that moms and dads and younger people right now are bringing into some of these clubs is exciting. And there are people within the clubs that are willing and accepting. They may not always be in leadership, right? Change is hard. We know that. But we're finding slowly, if we keep showing up and we keep really sounding the alarm about what's happening and what the future of America looks like, if we continue to ignore these issues, we're finding that new people are coming up and supporting us. So in my own community, for example, the Republican Executive Committee had a whole change of leadership, now there's space for everyone to have their voice heard, and it's been very interesting to watch.
And at the grassroots, when these people come up to you, how many of them are apolitical? Because I keep saying GOP and Republican conservative, but I would imagine there's thousands and thousands of people who never saw themselves as political or thought of themselves as independent or Democrats. Are you seeing that?
I would say that probably about half of our membership would fall into that area, really. I mean, there's an article out in the USA Today, and it talks about some of our moms were interviewed, and one of the moms said she'd only voted twice in her life. And so as a country, you have to look at a 40-year-old woman who has children. Why was she not voting? Why did she feel so disenchanted with the political process in America? Why did she not feel that her voice was important? Now she realizes it is, and we don't want to lose those people. So we're going to find a place for Moms for Liberty and for this, you know, new movement in America. And I think it's really up to those that have been involved in politics to create the space for new people to join us.
Every day we try and keep the biggest stories in front of you that the mainstream media refuses to cover. Let me share with you some of the latest audio from the war zone that is Ukraine under Russian invasion.
So roughly more than 2 million children have been displaced because of the war that is happening in Ukraine. There is a very conscious effort from all of the organizations that are working on this project to make sure that they make it as easy as possible for the families. But they are very concerned about what this will look like weeks, months down the road when obviously aid starts to wane a bit.
There are millions of children suffering, displaced with their mothers as their fathers go to war. We've already, through Food for the Poor, shipped more than 11 million meals to those who are starving. Wherever you stand on this conflict, these people are innocent and they need our help. Please make a difference today. A one-time donation of just $50 is 200 meals. They have the meals at Food for the Poor. They just have to get them into the battlefield. Please help today. A one-time donation of $100 is 400 meals for the starving. Please help today. Call them on 855-330-HOPE or just go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Help Ukraine banner. Your donations are tax deductible. Please call today, 855-330-4743, or just go to my website and click on the Help Ukraine banner. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Tiffany, we have to talk about just how insane the other side has become. And there is a certain assemblyman in California who has suggested what about transgenderism and the abuse of children?
Yeah, there's a man named Scott Weiner. He has officially lost his mind as far as I'm concerned. He decided that he wanted to present a bill, SB 107, that would make California a sanctuary state for children who want to have gender affirmation surgery, as they call it, which means to lean in and encourage a child to believe that they were born in the wrong body, and then to take steps, medical steps, to try to change their biological sex, which you and I know is impossible.
Can we just be explicit here? And I'm sorry if you've got kids in the car, just dial it down maybe. So what we're talking about is children who have their gender dysphoria, which is a medical condition, affirmed. We don't do that. We don't affirm medical conditions. We don't say, you've got cancer, that's great, or you're a schizophrenic, that's really cool. We in the history of medicine, we never affirm somebody's ailment. In this case, they have decided we affirm it as a medical professional. They provide hormones of the opposite sex to that child, and eventually it leads to surgery. Surgery to do what? To remove a young woman's breasts and to castrate a boy, which, as you said, does nothing to change their sex. If you're an XY genetic makeup chromosomally, you're still a boy. If you're XX, you will be a female until you die. But they sterilize these children and they mutilate these children. And somebody in California wants to create a, quote, safe space for that mutilation?
Yeah, if a child runs away to California, then they can become a ward of the state. And then apparently California taxpayers will pay for that child to go through gender transition surgery. There is no data to support the idea that a child would be better off leaving their home and going through gender transition surgery than staying at home and not. As a mom of four kids, if my daughter was dealing with weight issues, with body image issues, was starving herself, was identified as being anorexic, would I encourage that behavior? Would I take her for liposuction to continue down that path? No. And this is no different than any of that. And yet the medical community has chosen to take a completely different path. And I promise you, we will not stop. Mothers and fathers across this country will not stop until this madness ends.
Let me just echo on that. we had an amazing, brave woman, Dr. Miriam Grossman, on the show, who was interviewed by Matt Walsh in his movie, What is a Woman? And I just raised this as a you know, PhD of political science, not a medical professional. I said, Dr. Grossman, when I was a kid in the 70s and 80s, the big issue for young girls was anorexia and bulimia. And it would often happen in a group dynamic that a tight-knit group of, you know, prepubescent girls would get this dysmorphic image of themselves as overweight despite being, you know, rake thin. And this mental condition would lead to all kinds of problems for these you know, growing young women. Is this like bulimia and anorexia? Dr. Grossman, who is an MD, who is a psychiatrist, said, yeah, this is the new bulimia, the new anorexia. We didn't encourage that. You know, we celebrated people who battled it and overcome it. Like, I think, you know, Princess Diana was famous for overcoming it. But we didn't say, yeah, that's really good. Can I help you? That's the difference today.
It is the difference. But if you think about the way that the children and the education is working, it's all critical theory. It's all this idea of criticizing and turning against to be at odds with, right? And so if I criticize you about your weight constantly, well, I'm going to have an image. If I criticize you about your race, I'm probably going to give you a race disorder image. If I criticize your gender or your sex constantly, you're probably going to become pretty critical about that. And so children are just immersed in this very critical theory-laced curriculum and education.
Where the abnormal is normalized.
Where the abnormal is normalized, and then the abnormal is celebrated. So it becomes now these children look for a place to be. I was just on Dr. Phil. It'll come out at the end of September, I think.
Wow.
And brought in to talk about parental rights. And I looked at Dr. Phil and I said on this issue of gender ideology, Tavistock, the gender clinic in England, was just closed. And
the infamous gender clinic was just shut down.
Yes, and they're separating into two, and they will have a very, very strict vetting process for the children that will be able to continue down this path. And if you have any comorbidity, you stop. You're going to funnel out 99% of kids who may have been pushed into this area. And I asked Dr. Phil, did you know that 35% of the girls that were going through this treatment at Tavistock have moderate to severe autism? Which is difficult.
This is what nobody wants to talk about.
Right.
Is the incredibly high rate of autism amongst these children.
Yep.
What, did he know that?
No, he did not know that. And I asked him, and he said, I wasn't aware of that. I didn't know. And so the truth of the matter is you're seeing all these children that are presenting with these comorbidities. COVID has not helped these girls, right? And I still say, as the mom of a daughter, as a woman myself, find me a middle school girl who loves going through puberty.
Right.
Tell me who feels great about that when you're going through it, right?
Find a guy who's excited.
It's not an easy time in a child's life. There are a lot of changes happening, and instead of embracing those changes and helping children to feel comfortable in their bodies, what we're telling them is maybe they were born in the wrong body, and that is just nonsense.
Please support this organization. If you don't have one where you are, create a chapter. This is what my wife calls the Parents' Revolt. It is how we are going to take back America. MomsForLiberty.org. And we are talking to Tiffany Justice. You can follow her on Twitter at @4 Tiffany Justice. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, a one-on-one. We're almost out of time, which is crazy. One big question on my long list of things I wanted to ask you is parental choice, parents' choice. Is this the silver bullet, giving parents the choice when it comes to education? Is this going to solve it all, or is what we are facing bigger than that?
Trusting parents is the way forward. And so at Moms for Liberty, really, I said we have 215 chapters. We have leadership in these chapters that are really helping parents to recognize you can't rely on an expert class. You have to be the expert of your own child and trust yourself and work within your community to build that that support system. As far as school choice is concerned, I believe in school choice because I believe in parents making the best decision for their kids. That means informed choice. Parents need all of the information possible so they can make the best decision for their child. But I don't think school choice alone. solves this. We've seen a lot of private schools that have been captured. Parents are concerned about, you know, where they're going to send their child to school. And as a mom, I know it's not easy to change your child's school. There's a lot that goes into that, right? And that's something that you do with your child. So I think it's important to recognize, as we continue to advocate for school choice, that we make sure that the federal strings aren't attached to that money, and that we're working in our own communities to help to build the marketplace so that when choice, like in Arizona, is offered. Recently in Arizona, they had, you know, groundbreaking education savings accounts passed so that parents can make that choice for their children about where to go. But in a community, what are you going to do, right? Is there a good school in your community? Can you be a part of creating that opportunity for your children? We can't rely on other people to help us to reclaim education and build back better in America. We have to be the ones that make that happen. And so our moms and dads across the country are involved in starting new schools and starting pod schools and looking for other options for their kids, but in also reclaiming public education, because there's a large segment of children that will continue in public schools. And where we are right now, and if I seem a little annoyed or angry, I get a little annoyed and
That's
angry.
Okay.
Conservatives very much focused on school choice. It was school choice or die for how long? 20 years,
yes.
25 years. And now we reach this moment where school choice is great, but it's not the only answer. And we did seed the ground of education and public education in America quite a bit. And it's time for us to find our place again and lead.
Yeah, school choice only works if the schools you have to choose from aren't all woke. Mm. If you get school choice and everything, private and public, is woke, then it really doesn't matter. So, again, momsforliberty.org, for Tiffany Justice on Twitter. Let me just share a little personal story with all of you that may help illustrate, I think, perhaps why Tiffany does what she does, and perhaps she can comment on it. So my wife, that you know very well, Katie, detests politics. She thinks it's filthy, disgusting, and she's absolutely right. However, without telling me, clearly she had not read St. Paul's letter about men and women and husbands and wives, she announced to me one day that she had signed up to be a candidate in a local election. She didn't ask my permission. She just did it. Before I, you know, pick myself up off the floor, I realized I have to ask why. You hate politics. Why did you do this? And it's because of things like this. It's because of, here we have just one story on the drag queen story hours across America, and our local community center, which is supposed to run the library and the kids programs, had a drag queen story hour, just like the one that Eric is going to put on the screen right now. Thank you. And she said, this is wrong. This has to stop. And that's why she ran for local office. God bless Katie, and she's continuing the fight, as are you, as are Tina. What is your message to those out there who think, there's no drag queen story hour in my local community center? I'm not political. I have no role to play. What is your message to them, Tiffany?
My message is, have you seen enough yet in other communities? Does it have to happen in your own community? You don't put a bike helmet on your child because they've been hurt before. You put one on your child because you know there's the potential for them to get hurt. Does every county have to be Loudoun County, where a child is being raped in the bathroom, to know that boys shouldn't be in women's spaces? Men shouldn't be in women's spaces. So in private spaces like that. So, you know, I give Katie a lot of credit. It is not easy to run for office. I recognize, you know, we're getting into a field where we haven't had a lot of people, but courage is contagious. And the more people like us, moms and dads, that get involved, who aren't career politicians, but genuinely care about their country and want to make a difference, the more of us that are there, we can elevate the entire situation. And I really feel like it's that spirit of America coming back, where people are running for office for the right reasons, not a career in politics, yeah, but because they love their community and want to make a difference.
And those people who are listening need to know that they're not alone, correct?
That you are not alone. And I promise, when you stand up, and that's why we created Moms for Liberty, so that you could see that there are other people around you. And I know sometimes it's scary for parents. You worry, is the school district going to retaliate against my child or against me? They might. I'm not going to lie to you about that. But when you realize that not doing something is more dangerous than taking action and standing up, I promise you, you will be motivated to continue to make that change.
Here's the simple thing, And we can just summarize it down, if you'll indulge me, into one sentence. If you're not going to fight for your children, who is? Okay, guys? All right. God bless you, Tiffany, everybody involved in Moms for Liberty, Tina, all the chapters. How many chapters?
215.
Incredible. If you don't have one where you are, make one, build it, and they will come. That's a good tagline for a movie. I'm Sebastian Gorka. It is The Parents' Revolt. You've been listening to One on One on America First. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
If you think it was just Trump's personality that turned her off and made this radical change, well, then you think that she would support somebody like DeSantis, who's embodied the same platform and agenda that she voted 93% for in her career. And yet when asked that, you can have the agenda that you rode to your third ranking position. She didn't say she was going to support him. So what's the exegesis? What's the explanation? I think that just as Trump and that MAGA wave fueled her ascendant, she felt that after January 6th, that she was going to be on the cutting edge of the destruction of Donald Trump. But the more people learned about her committee that was, she was vice chair, and the star chamber nature of it, and the lack of true cross-examination and some disturbing details, then they started to ask questions, and it wasn't so resonant anymore. It's kind of like, you know, the Greeks said, whomever the gods want to destroy, they make crazy. So then she doubled down in the way that John Bolton or Bill Kristol have, to take two examples. And they think that my Washington fides and influence will finally convince these people out there, the rubes, that I'm right. And they get radical, they get excessive, and then they end up comparing themselves that no politician, that's a cardinal rule in American politics. You never compare yourself to Abraham Lincoln.
That's a pretty good rule. What did I say yesterday? If I ran for president, if I managed to get the Constitution's change and was elected, even then I wouldn't compare myself to Abraham Lincoln, the great, the superlative Victor Davis Hanson. And why was Tucker grinning so much? That's just an 80-second clip from his show. Because in 80 seconds, not only does he throw in the ancient Greeks, the rubes, also the word exegesis, that's why he is one of the best, brightest we have, and most courageous. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from just outside a rank, fetid, thank you. Who was our caller? Was it Leonardo? Malodorous swamp that is Washington, D.C. He got it. I've been wondering, can we explain what happened with Cheney, with one of the scions of one of the political dynasties in America, all four of which have now been destroyed by President Trump? And he nailed it. I mean, how weird, just that one stat. She voted with President Trump 94% of the time. But then what happened? Then she saw the events of January 6th that we still don't have a requisite explanation for. Yes, some hotheads doing stupid things. But why did Nancy Pelosi refuse the president's offer of the National Guard? Why is there video of police officers taking down barricades and inviting protesters into the building? And why do we have self-avowed BLM anarchists, people who have been on video cameras screaming, "I'm a revolutionary," right there next to Ashley Babbitt? Yes, you know who he is. That photographer by the name of Sullivan, right next to her, wearing MAGA gear. Why do BLM and Antifa supporters wear red hats on January the 6th? And why are there thousands of minutes of footage yet to be released by the police? That occurs, and Liz Cheney makes a very, very bad strategic decision. What the GOP thought for 4 years, that he's just an anomaly. Donald Trump is a glitch in the system. And January 6th is our moment. We can get rid of him. We can kick him out of our uniparty. Get him away from all those lovely, greasy deals. The jobs we get. The board memberships after we leave government. All the lovely... How much money did she make in the scant time she's been on Capitol Hill? Millions and millions of dollars on a congresswoman's wage. How is that? So she made the decision, I'm going to ride the wave of anti-Trump sentiment. I may have voted with him 94% of the time, but now I'm going to take a large dagger. And just like Brutus, I'm going to stab Julius Caesar, not in the back, but in the front, et tu, Cheney. And what a miscalculation. Because he's not the anomaly. He's not the blip on the radar screen that will fade into irrelevance. Don't get me wrong, I thought it was going to be hard to recover from January the 6th. But now, as we find out all the strange things about that day, you know, Darren Beatty's coverage at the Revolver of that strange pipe bomb with the egg timer that sat under a bench right outside the party headquarters for over a day, and nobody saw it, and the Secret Service sniffer dogs didn't find it. How is that possible? And the footage of the person who left the pipe bombs there, amazingly, the one camera that has the full frontal of his face. We don't have the footage from that camera. Why is that? They thought they could get rid of him, and they failed. We're going to ask Matt Boyle in a few moments, what's his batting average? Before Wyoming, it was 111 for 9? 100 in the history of the United States, no political force, former president or newspaper editorial board, has a batting average like that. Basically unbeatable. You get his stamp of approval, you're MAGA, you're America First, you're going to crush it, not just as an unknown in a race of unknowns, you're going to beat the woman who has the name Cheney in Wyoming, but not by a slim margin of a couple of votes, by 37%. Beaten by a woman that nobody... I'm pretty into politics. I hadn't heard of Hagerman before 6 months ago. Only people in Wyoming have. You're going to flood the zone with money from California and you still can't win? $7 million Cheney burnt. $7 million on her primary. And she's toast. She's dead. She's buried. Her political career is over. That's what the establishment saw in Donald Trump. Let's get back to business. Footsie under the table with the Democrats, with the lobbyists, with the quote-unquote special interests. But no. Just like Ben Kenobi in Star Wars, in the original, the first, the best, the evil forces try to strike him down. And he's more powerful than he's ever been before. It has to be Donald Trump. It will be Donald Trump if we do our work. Why does it have to be him? Very simply, because the system is corrupt to the core. It is rotten to its heart. And there is nobody who will have the commitment to tear it up root and branch other than the man who has been assaulted and attacked and politically persecuted for 6 years nonstop.
from the Billy Bush tapes through to Mueller probes, impeachments, the Southern District of New York, the raiding of his wife's closet by armed FBI agents. Who's going to take revenge on the corrupt government, the bureaucrats who think presidents come and go, but we're in charge? Yeah, Ron DeSantis is great. Ron Paul is great. But there's only one man who truly knows the depravity of the permanent bureaucracy, and that's Donald Trump. It's his party now. He will run. Are you assisting in making it possible that every America First candidate in America wins? It's up to you. You better be running, or you better be helping somebody to run. Because they've taken our country from us, and now we get to take it back. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Make sure you never miss a moment of our one-on-one interviews. Go to Spotify, plug in my name, America First, Sebastian Gorka. Subscribe. It's absolutely free. Write us a five-star review. It makes a difference. And share the links, because the truth must be told, and it must be told by you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.